You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Adam, hey, no shortage of storylines for you right now. Of course, the Gruden explosion and everything that happened with the emails, and then he resigns through it. But what's the Raiders' plan here? Who's going to be the head coach?
So right now it'll be Rich Bisaccia. He's been the assistant head coach for the last 4 years. He's also been an assistant head coach for basically the last 15 years around the league, starting when John Gruden gave him that job down in Tampa Bay. So he's been kind of groomed for this for a long time, hasn't been hired anywhere yet, but a guy that certainly has the respect in the locker room and has been around the league forever. So he's well-versed in that area, and I think part of that decision of making him the interim coach was that, hey, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator can stay in place. They can continue to run their units and move the special teams coordinator in to be the head coach to make those, you know, final decisions on fourth downs and challenges and things like that, and just let them run their units to get as much consistency as possible.
How much is the loss of Gruden? How much does that affect the team? Like, what impact, like points wise or stats wise? Like, what do you think that'll do to the group, to the team?
I mean, we'll see. It's a great question, and I think one that we've been asking around the players and see what they think. You know, it's a lot of head coaches have a lot of power, and we understand that and we know that, but perhaps nobody more in the league than John Gruden. I mean, John Gruden is a guy that has his fingerprints on everything. He makes the personnel decisions. Personnel decisions, the play caller. He does everything. He has his fingerprints on every single thing that happens. And I say in this building, I'm actually in the building right now. So everything that happens around here, I'm sure he probably designed some of the light fixtures and things like that around this place. So he has his hands on everything. So there is a lot that you lose here. Now, in the short term, you know, switching play callers from Gruden to Greg Olsen, which really will be Derek Carr calling a lot of his own plays. But switching play callers, I think maybe, you know, some teams have trouble, you know, learning your tendencies and things like that because there's no real book on how Greg Olsen and Derek Carr are going to call plays together. So maybe short term there's a little bump there that, you know, teams have trouble scouting them. But it is the same offense. It is a lot of the same plays and all that stuff. So you lose out on Gruden and his knowledge and his expertise on game day. And what he's been able to do. But it's really just, you know, the impact he's had. Every single person in here was basically handpicked by him, from the general manager all the way down to every player. So, you know, his fingerprints are everywhere, and it's going to be tough to kind of move on from that.
When this story came out, like, it was interesting. A lot of people like, oh, this was leaked from the NFL. Why do you think that was? Like, well, you know, in all of this, like, his emails get leaked out, but so far nothing from Snyder. What was the reason why?
Well, I think Daniel Snyder paid $10 million to not have his emails come out. But I think that's the bottom line. He was fined $10 million as part of this investigation. And I think part of that $10 million fine was that all that stuff would remain private. If you're asking me for my reporting on why this came out, we don't know anything. I mean, we're still asking the questions. We're trying to find it out. That's all there. If you're asking my opinion on why it came out, I think, listen, you can make all these, you know, homophobic and misogynistic comments, and they're awful and horrific, and everything he said was terrible. But you don't say terrible things about the commissioner if you don't want them to come out. And I think, you know, part of that is, hey, Roger Goodell goes through these emails. He sees that there's comments about him and some horrific things about him. And maybe there was motivation there to put that out. I don't know. And I don't think – I think a lot of people are focused on the why, and I think that is down the road an important question. But the bottom line is, as a lot of people here in the building have said, listen, you can make excuses and say, hey, this shouldn't have come out, and what would everybody else's emails reveal, and all those things you can say. But he said these things. I mean, there's no getting around that. He said it. And, you know, whether you think other people should be punished too, which they probably should, and I'm sure many people would if we saw their private emails get punished, we haven't. We've seen these. They're awful, and there needed to be a price paid.
He has a long contract, John Gruden does, and a significant amount of money. Has there been any thought or leaks as far as what happens with that salary and his contract that is, you know, being signed with the Raiders?
Well, I think it's very important, and, you know, we're, again, asking those questions. It's still in the stages of all being reported out, but it seems to me that the Raiders could have fired him on Friday for the first email that came out. They didn't. They could have fired him, you know, Monday, when they kind of learned about these emails, even if they weren't public yet. But they didn't. They got him to resign. And I think they put pressure on him to resign. And I think a big reason for that is when you resign, it's a much cleaner legal process to withhold the money. And so my thought, and from, you know, kind of talking to people, they have said that they believe that the team is off the hook for the entire contract because of the fact that he resigned and wasn't fired.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. But then I wonder if there's some sort of agreement out there that said, hey, maybe I have some other emails and I don't want them to come out, so he'll get a portion of it. We'll have to see kind of what happens.
They could have also said something like, hey, if we fire you, we have to pay you. If you resign, we don't. How about we give you $20 million and you walk away? I mean, that could have been done too.
Yes.
So nothing firm has come out from the team yet.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Now, looking at the team, and I know Strud's talked about, you know, his hand, Gruden's fingerprints were on everything. And you look at the Raiders, you know, they're 3-2. They're one game back of the Chargers. It's a very tough AFC East right now. And there's battles for the wild card position. They're right in that battle. Are they going to be a better team on the field without Gruden, or worse?
Well, they were worse Sunday. Gruden was there, but this was all kind of hanging over them, and I think it was clearly a distraction to kind of play through. So they were worse on Sunday. There's no question about that. So does that carry over? Is there still a lingering effect from that? We'll find out. I think on the surface, they're probably worse. That's what you would expect. In the history of interim coaches, there's not a very great history of, you know, anybody stepping up and, you know, having success. But this is not a case where a coach was fired, right? Where usually that's because the team is playing very badly and they're a bad team. In this case, they're a pretty good team. There is a, you know, a major void now at the top with the head coach gone and the play caller gone. But I think this team has every capability of rallying and playing better and living up to the goals that they might have. You know, somebody asked me yesterday how much difference I think there is in a win total. Before he got fired, or resigned, I should say, I thought they'd be 9-8, and now I think they'll be 8-9. Like, I don't think it's that different, but maybe it's slightly worse.
Let's talk about their quarterback for a second. I mean, a lot of people were talking about how good of a start he had. Bit of a tough one last weekend, but Derek Carr, are you seeing continuous growth this year from him, or what have you liked or interpreted from his start?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the last couple of years he's more than capable of putting up big numbers and having great games and being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's more than capable of having off games where he's inconsistent. I mean, I think we've seen that for a couple of years, and I think it's why the Raiders have had some flirtations with some great quarterbacks. And let's be clear, they haven't flirted with just anybody. There's been rumors of, like, the three best quarterbacks in the world: Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson. That's who they've talked about bringing in. It's not like they're just looking for nobodies out there. They've been looking for an elite quarterback, and Derek Carr is, like, right on the outside of that. He's, like, the, you know, ninth or tenth best quarterback in the league, which is great. Fantastic. It's, you know, you're one of the 10 best people in the world at what you do, but you're not one of the top five, and that's kind of what you need in the NFL right now if you want to be very successful. So, you know, I think that they're going to make that determination after this year, and I think now it's Mike Mayock's decision instead of John Gruden's decision, and, you know, we'll see what they want to do with him. But I think he's kind of playing for his future in Las Vegas for the next, you know, 10 games.
Adam, we really appreciate the breakdown, man. Enjoy it. I'm sure this is a story that's not going to go away anytime soon in Raiderland.
No, it's not. Thank you guys very much.